Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Kelvin Sampson, he is awesome. He is our best coach. He's the best coach that we have in this
city. He might be our best friend.
He loves us. I know that. So, I mean, this is a, I love the quote. There's so many things, so many quotes that he had this weekend. One of them was, he didn't sound excited. We'll play that one. Jim Nance was there. You saw Jarris was there. Mm-hmm. He was giving him big hugs. The hug between he and Kellen right after the game that they were going to the Final Four. There's a long interview that I watched with Will Kunkel interviewing Kellen. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really good. But Kelvin says we've been preparing for this since June. And, you know, it's a process that they have. They have a late meeting on, is it June 1st? I think it's June 1st. And then there's 6:30 a.m. practice. And the season starts. Huh. And that's it. And it's a total 100% commitment. Here's Kelvin Sampson talking about that.
Coach, you guys really jumped on him that first 5-10 minutes of the game. I'm wondering what, if anything, did you see in the last 36 hours that might have indicated that your team was ready to do that?
Well, it wasn't the last 36 hours. Since June, we didn't get good the last 36 hours. We just went through the Big 12 tournament, played three games there. The thing I like about this team, I don't think they overreact to anything.
That's it? Yeah. We cut them off mid-sentence? Why?
And why? That's the clip.
He clearly was not done talking. He had more to say. Mm. He had a lot more to say.
Well, he did have more to say, and Kelvin, you can't tell. He did it seem like he was happy? I don't know, but he did say. You know, he's talking about his team, and in mid sentence, here's what Kelvin had to say, and he had to make sure that everybody knew he was happy.
You know, we have a really good team. I think being humble and staying hungry every day has really helped us. I'm more excited than I'm letting on right now. I'm really excited. I'm really happy for these kids. But it's their moment, and I'm just happy for them.
At least he recognizes that we don't know when he's happy. Yeah. He's so determined all the time. Like, this guy lives with determination.
Yeah.
Like when he talks to his grandkids, he's probably a determined tone.
Do you think it never works out, son takes over for dad?
No, he'll take over.
No.
Oh.
It never.
It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard.
I was thinking about that because, you know, I was thinking, I was watching. It's funny you ask that because I'm watching his son, Kellen, walk down the tunnel. They're showing the players walking, and they're talking about, this is the walk, man. I love this walk. Who was that who was saying this? There was somebody on the show, on the broadcast yesterday, and they showed Houston making the long walk from the tunnel to the court, and they said, look at them. No one's talking. They're just sitting there with the focus. I love this walk. Kenny, did you like this walk? And I'm watching Kellen walk with those guys, and all I could think of was, can he command the same respect from players? Mm-hmm. It's nothing against him. It's anybody that comes after. It's like coming after Bobby Knight or Mike Krzyzewski or any of these guys who are there forever and who are taskmasters.
Well, John Thompson.
Like John Thompson, yeah. And his son didn't work. It just, it usually.
DePaul, Ray Meyer, and Joey Meyer took over. It didn't work.
Rarely works because the number one, you're chasing a ghost. You're not going to be able to. You'll never live up. And Guy V. Lewis's son is a dentist, so he could have never taken over.
No, probably not.
Done what Guy V. Lewis did.
Well, you know, Bobby Knight's son did okay.
Pat Knight.
Yeah.
Well,
he was okay.
I think it would be. Yeah, and then they had to call Kelvin. I don't think. I think it's going to be really hard. I mean, I want it to, but can he get the same buy-in as he? There's only one Kelvin Sampson. There's only one Kelvin Sampson. One Kelvin Sampson. There's some kind of soccer cheer. I don't know what it is. Where you always say there's only one somebody.
Right.
I don't know. It's unlikely. History says no.
It is, but he was saying a lot of good stuff. He had a long form interview with Will Kunkel and asked him, "Hey, what does this mean?" And he's like, "You know, I could have taken other jobs. I could be a head coach at a smaller place right now, or some other place right now. But having this experience right now, it's worth it. And waiting these 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever it's going to be, that I'm waiting to take over. But the university has made a commitment to me, and I love this. I know I'm not, my dad's program, but I love being part of this. And boy, you want to talk? I mean, his wife and his sister, they all are in the program, and you want to talk about a family affair. Kelvin has created that. I don't know whether it's a sustainable and whether or not it's going to happen, you know, continue to happen. Hopefully it does for Kellen. But it ain't easy to follow your dad, that's for sure. Especially that dad. Especially the but you know what? you learn how to do it, and I'm sure he's learned everything he knows. He's learned from his dad and how to run a program. And hopefully maybe he can carry that over. I don't know. All I do know is that they're 5-point underdogs now on my bookie. And it ain't going to be easy playing this Duke team. But I don't think you're taking into account. I know you got to guard Knipple and you got to guard Flag, but Tennessee had a lot of scores too. And so is everybody. BYU came in here and was one of the leading scorers in the nation, and they held them to, what they held them to, 36 points?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a terrible matchup for BYU. Terrible. That's a terrible matchup for them. They even said it themselves, and they tried to talk themselves into acting like the second time around it would be better. It's a bad matchup for them.
Yeah.
BYU's a bad matchup. You know, they didn't like it with Alabama either. Those are two polar opposites. They're just certain matchups, but I don't think Houston has a really bad matchup. Like, what kind of team hurts Houston?
No kind of team.
I mean, I can't think of one.
Well, Texas Tech plays the same kind of defense they do.
Yeah, but so does Tennessee.
And Texas Tech beat them here.
That's true.
Yeah.
But so does Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Tennessee's a really good defensive team.
But Tennessee wasn't hurt so much defense. It was because they settled for
threes. They did give up. They got 69 points.
Yeah, but they were also in a big chase the second half of the game, too.
You know? Well, the chase actually hurt the Cougs. The chase is when. Listen, I don't know why teams don't put pressure on the Cougs all the time.
Yeah.
Because they don't play it nearly as well.
You know who would give Houston trouble?
Of course,
trouble?
They do. They did hurt them with open threes.
John Thompson teams and Nolan
Richardson
teams. Yeah. That would hurt Houston, giving them full court presses. You're right. You never see full court press anymore, and they're not a primary ball handler. They don't have a Jamal Shedd. They don't have a primary ball handler, and it shows up.
Yeah.
When you see them start to pant, when it gets tight, they start to lose. And they took care of the ball great yesterday. But Cryer's hands, he just, the last couple games when it's gotten a little tight, he hasn't performed as well. They tend to pick the ball up quickly across half court. That's the one concern. The one concern is a team that can turn you over. But Tennessee turns people over, and Houston had one at half. They didn't get their second turnover, at least statistically. I felt like there had been another one, but I think they were 8 minutes into the second half before they had a second turnover. So, I don't know. Duke's bigger than
Duke is Duke. Duke on TV more than Leave It to
Beaver. They're bigger. They're longer. They're more talented. All that stuff. But they're also young. And you got a team of older players with Houston. That's a young team. They haven't. And how much physicality did they see in their conference?
No, they didn't. But
and you got Bama. Bama just runs around, floats around, shoots a bunch of threes. Yeah. I mean, Bama has some physical guys, but they're about to get they're about to have a bunch of guys who are really in your like they're just gonna be in your face.
Yep, yep. No, they listen. Duke can't prepare for it. Nobody can prepare for it. Tennessee was like they were devastated. They were overwhelmed by the Cougs. That defensive effort when they had 8 points. They had 8 points with like 5 minutes to go in the half. That's how, I mean, it was ridiculous how good the Cougs were. That swarm, Texans don't have swarm. Cougs have swarm.
How about you had 14 straight misses, and it would have taken another 13 in a row to match the Rockets. That's how bad the Rockets were. And it felt like Tennessee couldn't make anything. You almost have to double that to get to what the Rockets did in a single game.
Well, they missed 27 straight threes.
Yeah.
They didn't miss 27 straight shots.
Threes. Tennessee missed 14 straight threes.
Oh.
You would have had to add 13, almost double what you saw in the first half to reach what the Rockets had in a single game that they were in.
Yeah.
That right. They still had a chance to win somehow.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. You know who else is amazing? John Daspit.
Well, John Daspit, I talked to him over the weekend, and everything's going well. He talked about a case. You know, he's got some settlements going with the big Astroworld case. I think some of those ended up getting settled. He has been really busy. He is personally involved with the cases that that come through the law firm. John Daspit, the John Daspit Law Firm, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. He's got offices in Dallas. He's got offices in San Antonio and I think in Austin as well, obviously in Houston. They have a lot of cases along the coastline for offshore and refinery stuff, but the important thing is when you get injured, when you're badly injured, there was a case he was looking at just recently where there was a lady who suffered serious injury in a fall, and it had to be compensated for by the insurance company because there were surgeries involved. And, man, those medical bills, they pile up on you with or without insurance. It gets high. So who's going to help you? Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to look out for you against that insurance company that's trying to squeeze you? It's John Daspit. And John Daspit gets the W's. 713, call now. He wins big for you. There's no doubt about it. If you ever need someone representing you for a personal injury or go to the website and find out everything that he represents you for at DaspitLaw.com. It's going to be John Daspit. 713, call.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We just don't listen. As a people, we don't talk enough about how Bow Wow's full name is Boward. It's not Boward.
It's not Boward.
Boward. Never take advice from Bow Wow. Oh, I don't know. Pretty good advice right there that he had earlier.
Yeah.
Pretty good advice. 713-780-3776. I can't be more excited. This is as excited as I've been about a team. I was still gripping with about 5 minutes left in that game yesterday.
I know. Everybody was, but that's too big a hill to climb.
What?
You just can't climb that big a hill 19 points. Even if you cut it back, at some point, Houston's going to hit some baskets, and then there's only a certain amount of time. Like I kept doing the math on it. Okay, Tennessee at one point Tennessee has to win by 1.5 points every minute at the time it was with 10 minutes to go or 9 minutes to go. They have to win by at least 1.5.
We were doing
points.
It too with like three. There was like 3:43 left, and they were up by 12, I think. And I'm like, oh God, we need about six more points or. Eight more, and it was like, and Yanni was there. He was like, "No, we just need to hold the ball for 30 seconds every time."
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the math.
And that's
of
it.
That's the math of it. That's why, because if you think about it, if a team has to score, have to beat you by 2 points a minute, then basically you can't score anymore.
Yeah,
and Houston has too good a defense for you to expect to be able to do that offensively.
And they did work clock, but man, Sharp's threes. It is so good. Listen, you would not have won that game in the middle of the season because Emmanuel Sharp was not he wasn't the guy that he is today. That ankle was bad. He was when he came back, it took him about five or six games to come back and be maybe even more seven or eight games to be the guy that you saw yesterday. He was phenomenal in huge situations. When he was all, how do you leave Emmanuel Sharp all alone? And I know you're playing with your hair on fire because you're trying to get the ball, you're trapping, you're doing everything you possibly can, but leaving that shooter twice, and he had the daggers. I love what they're doing after the game. They're doing is that a Dame Lillard thing? Where they put stuff on top of you?
No, I think that's Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. It's a Shea thing. Yeah, because they did that to the announcer, too.
They do it on the announcer a lot. They've done it to him multiple times this year, so I think it's Oklahoma City.
Yeah. It's a Shea thing. And now they're doing it. They did it to LJ.
Milos didn't like it.
Milos wasn't crazy about
he
it.
He didn't like Milos it. Come on, man. Stop playing.
Yeah. But Emmanuel was just like, put it on, let's go.
Then even Kelvin, they were careful on Kelvin. They did it a little bit. Towels, nothing too crazy. Yeah, no. But they put like 7 hats on Emmanuel Sharp.
That's so funny. That is so funny. That's great. I think this team is, and I think because they all have to go through that, I think that experience is a little like the Miracle on Ice. You know, you have to go through hell to get to heaven.
Was it like military?
Yeah. And that's a brotherhood and a bond that nobody else can be, nobody else gets. Nobody else is, you don't understand how hard this was and what we had to do to get here.
I think it's like being in a boot camp.
Yeah, boot camp. Yeah. Yeah. And that was what Miracle on Ice was about.
That's what's cool about being in a team. That's what I feel sad for the straight from high school to college. Like, there's a huge brotherhood that you miss out on when you don't play college ball. Even 1 year guys. I mean, you have it to an extent, but Kevin Durant had it for 1 year at Texas. When you play more than a couple years in college, man, you go through practices, you go through game experiences, you go through stuff with girls, you go through disagreements on the team. Like, there's a lot of brotherhood things that gets missed out on that has long-term, like, it doesn't, you just, you miss out on it. It's not like you can't play basketball or be a football player or whatever, but there's just stuff about being on a team at any level.
Yeah.
At any level, high school, I don't care, that you'll remember forever. And when you've gone through some really tough stuff, there's a bond that develops in sports for guys. I'm sure you have it, you know, when you played high school and college ball.
Yep.
There's just a bond that develops. In Houston, their bond is not just the winning, but man, you remember that time we had 19 turnovers and coach ran our ass until Emmanuel Sharp started throwing up or whatever. I'm making that up, but
right. It
could be something like, oh, I'll never forget that. They'll tell stories about that for years.
Oh, no. They do. Now they give them a little ribs you know, the former players. Yeah, coach, I don't miss any of your practices. Don't miss that, you know, and they all go through that together. And this team, you could tell, is – and I think this is his best team. I think this is his best team because he's got so many different guys that can step. Javier Francis yesterday came in and was phenomenal. He had 8 rebounds in that game. As soon as he got in, he hit a couple. I think he hit a couple back-to-back baskets. But that kind of off of the bench, and Kelvin ain't afraid. He ain't afraid to ever put in Malik Wilson. Terrence Arsenault hit a couple of huge baskets yesterday. He ain't afraid to put him in whenever. He ain't afraid to put Javier in there whenever. And, you know, come, Juwan, come sit. Even your best player, LJ, come sit over here because, you know what, we're going to be, for whatever reason, we're going to be better on the court with these guys right now. I mean, I really do believe this is his best team, and I think it's his best shot. Now, 4 number ones, you can't get a break in a Final Four. The odds are that the Duke is the favorite.
Yeah.
Duke is the favorite. And Florida's second favorite. Cougs are third and Auburn's last.
Auburn's last, wow.
Yeah. And that, how good is that team? And they're last.
We got a team of 24-year-olds.
Yeah.
Have you seen their ages?
Well,
they're the oldest team I've ever seen in my life.
Well, nobody's older than J1. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
sixth
know.
Sixth year.
Oh, they've Auburn Ben had 6 year guys. I saw a video on this. I couldn't believe it. They're so old. They got a 24-year-old, like 2 23-year-olds in the starting lineup.
Is it any wonder why they're so good?
Well, because exactly. They're just bigger, stronger. They're grown men.
Yeah.
They're grown men because of COVID has added, you know, you could get 2 years out of COVID. You could take two extra years. That's what's happened with Juwan, with Jaylon. But, and see, they don't have the ages right here. But if you look at how many of these players, I have to see what Auburn's team, but it was an incredible team age. It was an incredible stat I saw about how old they are. Auburn's basketball roster age. How Tigers' old starting five compares to NBA teams. This is how old they are. Auburn's starting five has an average age of 23.2 years old, led by 25-year-old Chad Baker Mazzara. He's 25. And 24-year-old Denver Jones. No Tiger starter is younger than 22.
Wow.
Yeah, they're hella old. That figure is a bit skewed by the fact that freshman Tahid Pettiford is operating as Auburn's sixth man when he averages more points per game than two starters. So he's a freshman and he's really good. But the point is, their starters are 25, 22, 23, 24, and 22. That's older than the Rockets.
Maybe they're
some
too
of those
old
Rockets starters.
Man, you know, there's a lot of tread off those tires.
Here's who they're older than: the Hawks, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Thunder, and the Raptors. Auburn's starting five is older than five NBA starting fives.
Wow. Wow. But you got to get the right starting. You got to get the right older guys. Right?
Well, and a lot of them are portal guys, and it just goes to show you, like, bigger, stronger. You know, if they play against Duke, for example, if Duke got by and Auburn got by, there'd be a bunch of 18-year-olds playing against 23-year-olds.
Yeah.
24-year-olds. There's a man strength difference.
Cooper Flagg should be a senior in high school right now.
Yeah, because he reclassified.
Yeah.
But he also played against the Olympic team in a basketball in the trials.
Yeah.
You know, in a little secret practice they had or whatever. So
no, but he's still young.
Yeah, but he's still going up against stronger.
That doesn't change his age, and he's still the best. And then the Cougs gonna shut him down. Under over on Cooper Flagg points.
So he had his over under was 25.5 against Bama, but they play up and down. I'm gonna say probably
what he averages a game?
It's like 20?
18-7?
Oh. Yeah. I'm gonna say 19.5 over under. It was it was 25.5 against Bama, but he didn't get there.
I'm going under. Takes him out of the game, but it's going to be hard on him. Calvin's going to make it hard on him.
But look, they defend too.
Yeah, but
it's going to be hard fought points. You're going to have to get to the free throw.
How about the under over for yesterday's game was 126. At halftime, it was down to 112.
Yeah. Whoa, who didn't know that with those two teams? It ended up going over, right?
69-50.
Oh, they only got 50? Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Yeah,
because they kind of got locked down the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yep.
Tennessee stopped scoring.
All right. You know what else happened yesterday was Minwoo Lee, the Houston Open.
Obviously.
And guess what's coming up? The women, okay? Putting the best in the world on display at the golf club at Carlton Woods. The club at Carlton Woods is beautiful. The Nicklaus course, it is just gorgeous. If you're looking for a great entertainment, you're looking for the highest quality, because they're all going to be here. All the best women in the world are going to be here because it's the first major of the year. And it's right here. Well, it's right in the Woodlands. And it's right there for you to go and enjoy. TheChevronChampionship.com. I'm telling you, they can play. It's a beautiful facility that you can go and get into one of the decks that they have. You can go and do it that way, or you can walk with the players. You can do it as affordably as you want or as expensive as you want. Do you want to entertain? You can do that as well, or just be entertained. Whatever the case may be, if you're looking for great golf, great entertainment in a beautiful site, and Dad, bring your daughters and let them see what competition at the highest level is at TheChevronChampionship.com, TheChevronChampionship.com, April 24th through the 27th. All right, what did we miss? I'll tell you what we missed. Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers threw two innings, hit 95.
So the first inning struck outside. Second inning gave up two hits, two earned runs, a walk. He didn't have a very good second inning, but I think that's kind of irrelevant. He pitched in a game. He struck out the side, and he hit 95. Check, check, check.
Yeah.
That's great.
I don't like him giving up runs to.
Yeah, that's. I had to go look at. All you saw was the either the 95 mile an hour strikeout.
Yeah.
But then I dug deeper and I'm like, okay, well, what actually happened? Oh, he struck out the side. Oh, great. Well, how'd the second inning go? No one's talking about that. Oh,
that's why.
Two hits, two runs. But that's fine. You know, probably we're going to see a good five more starts.
Was he working on stuff? That's why he gave up hits?
I think he was working on throwing 95.
No, actually, he said he was working on his changeup.
Was he?
Here is Lance McCullers after talking about his outing.
It was good, you know, two innings. Felt like I could have definitely gone out for a third, which is a really great sign. You know, these rehab games are all about literally entering healthy and leaving healthy, which is accomplished today. Felt overall was good, you know, got out of the stretch in the second and a little off timing, a little out of, you know, a lot of pace. But other than that, I was really happy with everything.
Did you get out of it what you wanted?
Of course, yeah. Two innings, feel strong through the whole two. I look at the data and stuff, but stuff felt, you know, overall really good. So, you know, would just get ready for my next outing.
Did you have a goal of working on certain pitches today?
Yeah, but it's whole kind of like, you know, my whole spring training rehab type of situation. I'm working on the changeup, mm-hmm. you know, trying to determine in the zone, out of the zone type of thing. So I threw quite a few changeups again today. Overall, they were mostly really good, so happy with that.
So that's good news, man. Yeah. Does he return end of April? It'd be mid-April?
Oh, man.
And where does he go?
I think more than that, bullpen.
I think he's got to. I don't think you can trust him for more than whether or not he'll be. But maybe, well, I mean, how often can he bounce back?
Can you get an inning out of him? Well, if he's not one of your primary guys, you want him every, have him available every
three
to 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lance's day to work. If we get an inning, we need to get him in. I mean, you're always going to have innings for a bullpen pitcher.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how well Wisniewski pitches too.
Yeah, but man, to get him up to par to be able to get to an, because what would his pitch count be starting off 75?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's going to build up strength now. How many pitches did he throw?
75. Can he even get to four innings? If he has one rough inning,
no. He'll be more than that if he's building up his strength now.
But my point is, it may take even longer.
Yeah. And the point is, who can you trust him throwing 100 pitches in a game? Because
I wouldn't.
Will his arm be able to take it?
I wouldn't try. I think. I think he's probably a bullpen pitcher, more than likely, and that's good. I mean, just to get him back is nice. To have Lance throwing well is going to be great. Having him at throwing 95 was a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't that long ago where he was excited about hitting 89. So, I think I think he gets to the bullpen. How long will it take? I don't know. I would think you have at least four more. Right? Yeah. Shouldn't he? He's going to need, like, he hasn't pitched forever. He's going to need at least.
Well, if he's going to the bullpen, no, he doesn't have to build up that kind of arm strength. Starter arm strength, that's for sure.
Well, right. But he still needs to work on a lot of stuff. It's been 2 years.
Yep. One thing we missed is Kevin Willard, no longer at Maryland. He takes the Villanova job. Boy, you want to talk about a guy who's bitter. He was pissed at Maryland. He was like, he's pissed at the Big Ten and the travel schedule. He's pissed at Maryland for how cheap they are. Kevin Willard was not happy at Maryland. I don't know if he's a guy that'll never be happy, but he is. He was pissed. No question about that. Did we mention Jim Nance was there? We didn't mention Malik Wilson actually playing yesterday.
Dude, Malik Wilson is a crazy athletic player. The way he moves, he is so explosive.
He can jump out of the gym. But when he fell on his head the other night against Purdue, that was scary, dude.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times guys will fall and, you know, you're like, oh, That, when I saw the replay, I was like, oh my God.
Did they say
God.
He had a concussion?
Yeah, and he wasn't supposed to play
yesterday. I was sick that day, so I can't really remember.
He wasn't supposed to play. They said, all the guys were saying, hey, we're going to go out there and we're going to play for Malik. We're going to win this for you and blah, blah, blah. And then Malik Wilson's on the court. I was like, holy crap. And Malik Wilson, well, actually, we got sound. He was, I mean, this is what a team is, man. These guys love each other, and this listen to Malik and how the guys came over to him after he fell.
Yeah, they all supported me, just being there for me. You know, when I first saw him, you know, going down for lunch, you know, everybody came giving me hugs and handshake. You know, just showing their support. You know, I just wanted to go out there today and just beat up for my brothers, and you know, we was able to get the win.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he was playing, because I thought for sure he was done. But you know, they're so careful about the head, but apparently he was fine. He was good enough to play, and he played a role. He had a couple of he comes out of nowhere and is 3 feet above everybody grabbing rebounds.
Yeah, he's got phenomenal springs.
Yep. And he's going to play a role. He's going to play a role against Duke. Oh, he's been coming off the bench. This is the kind of guy. See, this is the different program. This is the kind of guy, after last year, you know, got limited playing time, and he plays well. This is the kind of guy that transfers from most programs. Mm-hmm. And he stays here. And he still had limited time. But you know what he does? You'll see. There were a lot of games that were tight. Malik Wilson is on the floor at the end of games.
Because he defends.
Because he defends.
And he can get second shots.
And he grabs boards. He grabs big boards. And
well, how about Houston?
He hit the huge shot against Kansas.
Yeah, that was a big one. He's killing. I mean, the Cougars are killing people on the boards right now with the offensive boards.
Yeah.
Just, it's such a.
Does anybody bat a ball out more than the Cougs do? They bat balls out to the top of the key?
No.
They're phenomenal.
It's such a morale killer.
Well, you saw what Kelvin does, right? He puts the lid on the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's famous for that.
Yeah. He puts the lid on the basket, and they have to, and they fight and fight and fight. It is no, this is not just, oh, they're a good rebounding team. They work on it.
I wonder if Houston does. I think they do. So there's a drill where you go 4-on-3 and 3-on-2. So the offensive team, so you have, defense has 4 guys to block out 3. So you better not let one of them get, and the coach will throw the ball up to the rim or whatever. And you don't have to have a lid, but it's a great drill because, if you got 4 and like you're terrified because if the coach is going to run your ass, if one of those 3 gets it, and then you do 3 versus 2, it gets even harder for you. But I'll bet Houston does. I bet they do that 4-on-3, 3-on-2 drill because he's already got a lid on a basket. So of course, the whole thing is just about rebounding.
That's it. That's all it's about.
Man, Duke's going to be hard to beat. They're really talented. They can shoot. Nah, they're really good offensively too.
I was scared to death of Tennessee, and I'm not. I'm less scared of Duke.
You're less scared of Duke. Less I think scared of Duke. Duke looked a lot better than Tennessee.
I don't care. And the Cougs didn't look like. You know what everybody thought after Purdue? The Cougs. This isn't that good a team. And then that first half happened.
The first 3 minutes.
Watch. You're dip. Listen. Everybody's tough until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's a tough.
Now guy. I would say. Duke's built a little different. They've been around. Even though those are a lot of young guys, like you come into that program with tremendous expectations. You got pressure on you from jump.
They didn't play anywhere near the teams.
No, they didn't.
That ACC schedule ain't got them ready for this. They ain't ready for this Cougs team. All right, we're going to break. News of the Weird coming your way next. But first, a little monument.
Monument?
Monument Chevrolet. That's what he's talking about. You should go out to Pasadena and check what they have to offer. They have a wide selection of vehicles, particularly if you like a Chevy Silverado 1500. They're offering spring savings. What those spring savings are the employee pricing. So what they get their employees, they'll give to you because they want to treat you like family. Once you step onto that lot, you become family. Not only do they have employees that have been around for a long time, they have customers that have been around for a long time. People who have bought cars from them, generations of families from the dad, the mom, to the parents, the grandparents as well. Miami Chevrolet has been in business for 50 years. That means they've been serving the local community for that long and doing a great job. So once you go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and check out all they have to offer, whether it be a Trax or a Blazer or a Chevy Silverado 1500, Those prices don't change. You see them on the website, and you get on the lot in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, and you're going to get those same prices. No hidden fees, no upcharges. They want you to know that they're going to make the car buying experience as quick and easy as possible for you, because they understand you may not be so sure about what you're doing. They're going to walk you through the process and get you the best car available. So whether it's pre-owned or new or something for your business, which is great because they have a large fleet, Monument Chevrolet will take care of you. So remember this. Go out to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 228. And also, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Couple of drinks things. How about this? Jason Momoa and Gwyneth Paltrow they have an Ozempic-like drink that's $3. Do you want this Ozempic-like
drink? No way that works.
$3. That's what Jason Momoa and Gwyneth Paltrow say.
They told you it works?
Yeah.
And you're,
how about
and
this
you're,
drink?
And you believe them?
I do. Well, they're celebrities.
She's the one who has the candles scented like choo-choo.
Yeah, I know.
I think she just does stuff. I'm not trusting somebody with the company name of Goop.
Well, how about this? This drink. Do you want this one? Jessica Simpson has been downing snake sperm during her comeback. Do you guys want what Jessica Simpson is drinking? Del?
What kind of ridiculous question is this?
No.
Well, it's a comeback effort.
I'm surprised you didn't say, is there any other kind? You know what? That's the kind of thing that you would say.
Any other kind of what? Snake sperm?
Yeah.
Do you want to drink snake sperm?
It's not LaCroix. What are you asking for? Different flavors? What do you mean any other kind?
Huh?
What do you mean?
Wow.
What do you mean different kind?
Was your mic off when you said that? Okay.
Yeah, there sure was.
Any other kind?
Is there any other kind? What kind snake of sperm?
I don't care. I don't want any other kind of any sperm. I don't care. No, the answer is no.
I don't want to do anything Jessica Simpson's doing. Here's your answer. I'm tired of her doing that stuff.
Chelsea Handler shares that she gave drugs to everyone at the Oscars after party. She says, "I love giving people drugs."
I
wasn't there.
Okay. I don't think I'm sure.
I don't think I'd like her either.
Some of them.
She says, "I love giving people drugs."
Actually, you're not supposed to give anyone.
Okay.
Drugs.
No.
I'm sure
somebody has some kind of an issue.
Well, you don't have to. Some of them. A lot of them aren't legal. I'm guessing. Actually, you're not supposed to give anyone drugs.
Guess who's going to prison?
And
if somebody has some kind of an issue,
well, you don't have to have medical.
If someone has some kind of an issue and you gave them the drugs, guess who's going to prison? A bus driver in Miami.
What if some of the stuff you gave them
had
fentanyl?
You're in jail. Or worse.
I need to know more.
A bus driver in Miami opened fire.
I'm guessing it's not like they were.
Do you feel like?
No, I'm guessing that maybe they. I need to know more. I need to know what the context is.
Did they deserve?
I'm guessing it's not like they wouldn't sit down. No, I'm guessing that maybe they brandished a weapon
on
too.
Canada,
I'm guessing there's more to this
right?
story.
Yeah, there is. And Canada is reciprocating. So we've got
Canada
tariffs
on Canada,
6,200
right?
different
and
items.
Canada is
that
reciprocating.
We sell to them.
Canada has put
6,200
and they're putting
on
tariffs
6,200 different items,
flamethrowers
that we sell to them.
False beards,
6,200 and they're putting tariffs
church
on
bell cases
like.
And live monkeys.
Flamethrowers?
Do you feel like
we sell live monkeys?
False beards.
We sell
that
live
seems
monkeys.
Like that'd be an underground.
Church bell cases.
It feels like it would be
and live monkeys.
That
you're
illegal.
Sneaking.
Do you feel
yeah.
like
we sell
that
live
should,
monkeys?
That we shouldn't be
able apparently we sell
that
live
seems
monkeys.
Like that'd be an underground.
6,200 different products. It feels like it would be something
us.
That
you're
illegal.
That's a lot of tariffs.
That's a lot of tariffs.
I guess there are people who will be paying more for flamethrowers now.
Yeah.
They're going to hurt our flamethrower industries, though.
Well, what about our live monkey business?
That's true. I got a feeling.
And church bell case business.
If there's one thing I know from watching that one show on HBO where the monkeys end up turning into gorillas and then attacking and killing people, it's
you
that.
Mean Planet of the Apes? Those are movies.
No. The woman. The HBO documentary with that woman.
Oh, she gets
her
face
is all.
Her
face is all. She's got just. She's had all that work done on her face.
Oh.
I can't remember
monkeys
what that
is. She's a gorilla woman.
Monkeys don't turn into gorillas.
Apes.
Yeah. Woman.
It sounded like he was just describing Planet of the Apes.
I know.
It did.
Right.
No, but that lady kept trying to hide her. They wanted to. Like this one.
Jane Goodall.
No, no, no.
Oh.
It's this lady, you'll know, blonde hair. It's one of these HBO documentaries where they follow this lady around, and it's, yeah. Let me just put it this way.
You're talking about that chimp doc.
Yeah, the chimp doc. The chimp's turning. Florida's always going to have monkeys for sale. There's always going to be crazy stuff happening in Florida. Tigers for sale, monkeys for sale. If it's an illegal, pythons, Florida's not
giving. Is that where Jessica Simpson's getting her drink?
I mean, she could live in Florida.
She could. She might.
Absolutely.
No one knows that. No one knows. You don't know.
It's possible.
A couple was caught having sex on a grave in a historic local cemetery.
Can I ask you a question about Jessica Simpson's
what?
Her procurement of that particular item?
I don't know how she gets it.
Is it a concentrate?
Ooh.
Or freshly squeezed?
Ooh, boy.
Do we know?
Frozen or fresh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it straight from the source? What's the deal there? She gets it. Is it like when Lance went to that petting
zoo?
It's
not when Lance did anything with snake sperm.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
When
you went to that petting zoo and the guy with the cow squeezed it right into the cat's mouth. Or dog's
yeah.
Mouth. Yeah, is that what's going on?
That was a pretty sweet move. Oh, my God. Did y'all see that? As little kids, what if they did that with Jessica Simpson?
Farm fresh.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Don't do that under the desk.
Farm fresh.
I was going to do this sex on a grave story, but.
Nah, I've already seen, what's that movie called?
Oh, God.
What's the movie called again?
What was that? That was
awful. Sex on the Graveyard feels like.
Saltburn. Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Oh, Saltburn.
I've already seen Saltburn. I don't need the story.
Saltburn was awful.
I've seen too many shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen way too many shows. I got to start slowing down because this is ridiculous. I can't even remember all the stuff. I'll never remember what those. I don't remember any characters' names. Do you remember the characters' names?
Oh,
from
no,
Park?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
No idea.
Pat.
Don't care. 9:59. We're done. Mopey and Mapes next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.